I want to read to you this morning from Luke's Gospel, if you've got your Bibles with you. Luke's Gospel and chapter 1. And sort of an unusual passage in one way to read on a mothering Sunday. You can't see over there now, can you? Dun, dun, dun. Oh, right on the front row. And because you've done that, I might get less to give him a chocolate afterwards. It'll break his heart, but it'll be worth it for me. Okay, Luke chapter 1 and from verse 26. And it says this: in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favour with God. You will be with a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the one to be born will be called Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And the angel left her. I love it when angels turn up. They always say, "Don't be afraid," don't they? You know, because if she was washing the pots in the kitchen, it might have just took her by surprise. So, this morning, I want to, on this Mothering Sunday, when Steve and James and I had a little consultation about it, now if you don't see that straight away, have a little blink and you'll see the word. Right, you won't see him in red, you'll see him in yellow. Have you got that? Sorry? Mother. And then, just to show that people are not perfect, not mothers, why we've got this little one here is because I didn't leave enough space when I was painting it in. See that? Mother of Jesus. And the name is... Oh, he's just got it. He just went... You got it? Mary, Mother of Jesus. And I want us to think of a few things around this... this lady, because so often in a lot of churches we never really talk about her, and it's usually because in Roman churches there's overemphasis on her, where they call her the Mother of God, and that was a title that was only given to her in the 3rd century. She never took that for herself. The Bible never speaks of it. It always talks about Mary, the Mother of Jesus, and. But she plays an important part, because the Bible says that she was the most blessed of women. And we saw in the passage that we read that the angel appears to this lady in this town of Bethlehem that we know is the house of bread, and because Jesus was the bread of life, and he comes to her, and he speaks to her, and he uses a phrase And she uses a phrase a few times. And the first thing that it says about Mary, that when she comes to, when the angel comes to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, he says he comes, he doesn't use a name, but he uses this phrase. See that? He said it comes to a virgin in Galilee. Now, mums and dads, you're going to have some interesting conversations over the lunch table today. because I want us to see a few interesting things about this. That it spoke that Mary was, she was unmarried, but she'd also got sexual purity about her. She cherished the virginity, if you like. And I believe that there was a phrase I learnt many years ago, and it was simply this, that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And because of that influence of a mother upon a child, we can actually change what culture says. And mothers, you in particular, because you have more contact with the child than often the father does, because dad's out at work, it's important for us to be parents, and I'll use it as a general term, who shape the morality of the child. That morality should not be taken from what's on a film that they watch, or what's on a soap opera, but it should be taken from the Word of God. And that our principles and standards should be taken from that very basis. In fact, in Isaiah it says that a virgin will be found with child. It was saying that she will be free from contamination. And all the scriptures in the Gospels point to the fact that Mary had not been with a man. And it was very important, and it's important for this, that if the child was born by any other means, he would not be God. It's as simple as that. That's why Jesus had to be born of a Virgin Mary. John's Gospel puts it like this. He was not born of the will of God, or of the will of man, or by a husband's consent, but God. He was in very nature God. And what God was doing and what the angel revealed was that God by his Spirit was going to overshadow her and come and place himself, the eternal God, within the womb as a spirit to grow a body so he could enter the world in exactly the same way as you and me. So that he would have exactly the same start. And I love it in the Christmas carol that we sing, where it says, "Lo, he abhors not." That means he doesn't hate the virgin's womb. But he actually puts himself there for 9 months to grow as a baby boy. And that's God's entrance into the human race. And the virgin birth also does this. It actually guarantees the sinless nature of the Lord Jesus. That we have one who has been tempted in every way, and yet without sin. Because of the fact that he was God who placed himself in Mary's womb, the line of the curse of sin was broken, because he didn't have a natural father's descent. So he was different in that way. And it's so important for us to remember that in a world that treats sexual things too casually as a throwaway thing. And we have a responsibility to our kids to make sure that they're brought up in the right way, honouring the things that God says are precious. Yeah? That's 6 of us. Right, we'll work on it. So that's the first thing about Mary. The second thing that really strikes me about Mary, and this is a big word, but it begins with a V. Any ideas? You got that one? Vulnerable? Have you got it? No? They're trying to work it out there. It's vulnerable. If somebody's vulnerable, it means that they're in a place of danger.
And you see, when I thought about this with Mary, Mary becomes very vulnerable because she's saying, you know, I'm just a young girl. And some that have worked this out have said maybe she was about 16 to 18 years of age. She's engaged to be married. Engagement in Bible days was as good as being married without having gone through the ceremony. So it was very rare to break it off. And so Mary is making herself very vulnerable at this point because of Joseph. Because Joseph could have her killed. If she comes home and says, hey, I'm having a baby, Joe. You know, he can say, well, you know, I wasn't the baker. And whip her outside and have her stoned. So she was vulnerable in that level. She was vulnerable from ridicule and insults from lots of people that were around her. And you see, being a mother makes you vulnerable. How many times has a child said to his mum or dad, I hate you. I don't like you. I don't love you anymore. You're horrible. How many times do those sort of things come out, what that gets said? And it hurts. You know, we hear those sort of things and we put it down. Well, they're only a child, but they say things. And becoming a parent makes us very vulnerable. But at the same time, let's also understand that God knows exactly how it is, because how many times have people said to God, God, you're not fair. God, what you're doing isn't right. God, you're horrible. Or come out with some other insults to him. So Father God knows exactly how people are when they react in that sort of way. And let's face it, all of us that are parents have heard insults in one way or another from our kids. Usually when they can't get their own way. When you're sending them to bed at 7:30 and it's not fair. You're a mean mummy because my friend can stay up till 8:30. And you're not. It's just that you want a bit of peace and quiet and you've been up to that with them all day long. Right? But it makes us vulnerable and we've got to understand that. And Mary was vulnerable because she faced the death penalty. Some people would have shunned her, ignored her. And you know, sometimes we make ourselves vulnerable by sticking up for biblical principles in the way that we bring up our children. The things that we won't let them watch on TV. And again, we get the, it's not fair! And you know, boys and girls, sometimes you've got to take your mum and dad, not for granted, but to realise that they really want the best for us. Even if your granddad might support Manchester City, right? He's definitely wrong on that matter. But in everything else, you can trust their judgement, okay? And sometimes if they say, I don't want you to watch that film, or I don't want you to watch that programme, you've got to trust what they say, because maybe they know a little bit more than you about it. And my kids, when they grew up, I wouldn't let them watch certain things. I wouldn't let them watch He-Man. And I explained to them, because He-Man, you know, I have the power of the universe. I said, no, he hasn't. I know it's a cartoon. But I don't want my kids growing up with a false concept that somebody else has got greater power than the Lord Jesus Christ who overcame death. So sometimes you make yourself vulnerable. And I was told, Dad, it's not fair. Dad, you're being cruel. I want to watch it so much. And I said, no, well, I don't want to watch it, son. I'm sorry. So I've got the power of the control. And I still maintain the power of the remote control. Hallelujah. It's a man's thing, ladies. All right? Remember, we might give you flowers on Mothering Sunday, but not the remote control. Okay? That's our domain. All right? So it's vulnerable when we're actually doing things to say to our kids, look, this is what God says. This is God's way about it all. And Mary knew that. Mary also knew that God was becoming vulnerable by placing himself in Mary's womb. He knew that Jesus was going to become vulnerable by being born as a man, by being tempted in every way like we are. And yet Mary's response, even with all the vulnerability, was just simply to say, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. I want to do what God wants in my life. And sometimes we become vulnerable by doing things God's way, not our way. But also, apart from being vulnerable, we're actually in the safest place of all. We're vulnerable from other people who may misread or misjudge our motives. But by doing things God's way, we're in the safest place that we could ever imagine being in. And then, the next to last word is another V. What do you think it could be? Any ideas? Give you a clue. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll put an L at the end. I'll give you another clue. You could call it a pot. You got it? A cup. Well, it's like a cup as well. I'll give you another clue. A tin. A tin beginning with a V. Yeah, that's a German tin, obviously. A vessel, that's right. It was a vessel. And a vessel is something that you can put things in. And Mary actually became a vessel. And you know, mums and dads have to become vessels because they have to carry things. Carry things, the best desires for their kids to grow up. Oh, the other thing about being vulnerable that I forgot to mention. I read a great quote this week. And it was, and it's really about kids, about, you know, sometimes we have to do things that we don't like doing because mum and dad want us to do. But there was a man in America a long time ago, and he said this. He says, when I was 14, I realised that my dad knew nothing. When I was 21, I was really impressed at how much he'd caught up. Right? And Les will give you a chocolate bar if you know who the author was. Right? Anybody know who the author was of that quote? Not Jesus. No? Mark Twain. Did you say that, Paul? All right, yeah, it was Mark Twain. But Mary became a vessel. She lined herself up with God's will. Now I want to ask you, what about you? Are you doing the easy way of doing things? Or are you doing it God's way? Because so often it's easy for us to do things that are the easy way out rather than doing it God's way. And the vessel says, I want to do things God's way because I want God to fill me. You know, we can wrestle over minor issues where God's concerned, but if you think about it, Mary yielded to God over a major issue that would put her life on the line. And because she trusted God, she became part of God's eternal plan for every man and woman and boy and girl. And she became a picture of obedience. Of, yes, wanting the best for her son, but at the same time, being prepared to do things God's way. Not always understanding, but still being prepared to do things God's way. And what she did is she cooperated with God to get the best. And I believe that one of the amazing things about Mary was that she had to cooperate because there were hard things for her to face. The hardest thing that she had to face was to see the son that she'd carried for 9 months being despised and rejected and hanging on a cross. And there was only her and one other disciple that were there. Everybody else but the mother had never abandoned them. And I think even when children go wrong and make mistakes, there's always that way back, because you never stop being a mummy. You never stop being a daddy. It's part and parcel, and there's always a way back home. And Mary stood there at the foot of the cross and saw everything that her son had. I often think what that must have been like. Maybe that's why it says that her heart would also be pierced, because she felt the pain of what her son was going through. But she was prepared because somehow she knew it was God's will. And I'm convinced that because she cooperated with God, that for the days ahead,
She knew this within her life. And this one doesn't begin with a V, because I couldn't think of a V for it. Because she received herself the power of the Holy Spirit to do the things that God wanted her to do. And she spent the end of her days in Ephesus, still being a mother to an old disciple called John. And I believe that if we follow Mary's pattern in our lives, and if we follow Jesus' pattern as a child, that we will know the power of God to help us through every difficulty that we face. If we follow Mary's pattern as a mum and as a dad, then I believe that we will see the best in our kids in the days to come. Okay? Let's pray, and then the party will commence. So Father, we thank you this day that we have a great pattern of a mother in Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we pray from the examples of her life that we would be obedient to you, that even when it costs, we would become vulnerable, because we decide to become vessels from which you can flow through us and fill us with your power. So help us with these things, Father, in the raising of children in godly ways, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.